We will be reading from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided on your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Just read very well by a young man. It's actually the conclusion to chapter 9, and actually chapters 8 and 9 are one passage, really. And so I would encourage you maybe later on or lunchtime or so maybe to read both the chapters, because it is about generosity, it is about giving, and the theme, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Olsen kids had two sets of grandparents that lived out of town, and they would go visit their grandparents from time to time. The one set of grandparents, they would come there, and the first thing Grandma would say, "Take off your shoes. We don't want any dirt in the house." And then they'd see some knick-knack. "Don't touch that. We got that in our trip to China. We don't want it to break." "Do you want a drink? Well, we'll get some apple juice. Well, we'll put some water in it so that it'll just be a little bit more." The grandma was always complaining about the weather and about the government. And then she would start to complain about Grandpa. "Yeah, I don't get any sleep anymore because Grandpa's always coughing." And that's kind of the way. That's kind of the way that things went on that visit to that set of grandparents. The other set of grandparents, well, before the kids even got out of the car, Grandma on her arthritic knee was hobbling already to the car. Her arms extended, "Welcome, I've been waiting for 2 days for you kids to come. Come," and she threw her arm around her shoulder, and she brought them to a little secret stash of candies that she had in the house. "And do you want it? Do you want a sucker? Do you want it? Do you want?" And she was distributing. Do you want some chocolate milk? "We'll throw some extra marshmallows in there." And she would And she would talk about, yeah, sometimes Grandpa coughs quite a bit, but then she said, I'm so much better than Mrs. Jones because she lost Orville last week, and every cough that Grandpa coughs, I know that he's still with me, as she kind of tweaks his cheek and with a little glint in her eye. Which set of grandparents do you think they would rather go visit? By the way, these grandparents are figments of my imagination. I don't want anybody to say, oh, he's talking about so-and-so. What's the difference between the two sets of grandparents? Well, I think the difference is precisely found in the text that the cadets are wanting us to reflect on this morning. That the second set of grandparents, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good works. That Grandma was so thankful for her husband, thankful for her grandkids, thankful for the life that she was given. And that joy, you know, a little while ago, you cadets were, and be cheerful. Well, that cheerfulness, that joy, was not just something that was kind of added on. It exuded from her being. That is what. That's the difference. You know, this text, to be generous, is sometimes used, and quite frankly, I've used it in the years past too, where, you know, kind of towards the end of the fiscal year, the elders and the deacons are saying, Pastor, if we don't watch it, we're not going to make the budget. You should have a sermon about generosity. And so, yeah, this is a text that you could possibly use. And as I say, I've probably used it in the past. But it's much more than just giving. It's a demeanor. You know, the second set of grandparents, they're just nicer people. As we come to know Christ, as we know his benefits, as we know how abundantly we have been blessed, we become kinder. We become more compassionate people. And that's one of the reasons we have a cadet Corps, Sunday school, and we have offerings. It's not just simply a program. It's not just simply because we need money to keep things running, and of course that's true too. But through it, we become kinder, more compassionate. And that's what, if you read the chapters 8 and 9, these two things fit together so that this kind of your generosity kind of completes the picture. That's the emphasis that Paul is making here. You need to fit in. You need to fit in to be God's people. You know, I don't know how you guys, you young fellows and my gals for that matter, what kind of emphasis you have on fitting in. When I was kind of your age, Elvis Presley was the big singer at that time. I don't know if you even, maybe you don't remember him, but Elvis Presley, everybody kind of wanted to copy him. And so you would have your hair, and you would want your hair to be in what they call a ducktail. So you would want your hair to go back, and of course it wouldn't do it, and so you would throw Brill Cream in it, or even if that didn't do it, you would throw Vaseline in your hair to get it. And then you would kind of walk around with your collar up, and you want it to fit in. Nowadays, you kind of fit in a little differently. Now I did look at all of your slacks, by the way, and I didn't see any holes in it, but often I'll see young guys and gals, they seem to have all sorts of holes in their jeans. That seems to be the style. And so, again, you want to fit in. But I really hope and pray that you also want to fit in as God's people. And the way you fit in is to realize that you have been blessed by God and that you desire to be a blessing. Paul considers this to be very, very important. This is from the book of Corinthians, and so he's working with the city, the church at Corinth. And some time ago, probably about a year earlier, he had asked for offerings, because the churches, the people that in the Gentiles, and they were the Gentiles, were better off than some of the Jewish people in Jerusalem. And so they encouraged an offering. And the Corinthians said, "Oh, sure, oh yeah, we'll be glad to do that." But they really didn't come through. In the meantime, the churches in Macedonia, Philippi and Galatia, they came through. And if you read that, in their poverty, they begged, "Can we also give? Can we also be generous?" Because they recognized that even though they didn't have much, but God had blessed them and they wanted to be a blessing. And so Paul said, "I'm a little bit concerned there, the church at Corinth. What if I'm bragging to other people about, yeah, the church at Corinth, they want to give and they want to help and they want to be a blessing, and then I get there, and you guys don't have anything to give." And so he says, "Before I come, I'm going to send three people." Titus was one of them, and a couple of others, and they're going to talk to you so that when I come, you will have been prepared and you will have that gift, you will have that offering. And by the way, I don't want you to do this out of compulsion. I don't want you to do this because you have to. I want you to do that because there's that joy in you. Again, coming back to that second set of grandparents, that this is just a natural way to live. This is the result of Jesus living in my life. How can I be a blessing? Then he uses a neat illustration, really, about seed for the sower and bread. And in those days, you would grow a crop, let's say, of wheat, and then you would harvest the wheat, and then with some of the wheat, you would make bread. And God enabled you to make bread out of the wheat. But you also had to save some of the kernels for next year's crop. And so there was always a little bit of a dance. Because what if you said, we're hungry and we got lots of mouths to feed, and so we're going to eat, and then you have nothing, for no seed. On the other hand, if you keep everything for the seed, you don't have anything to live off of. And so God provides for you so that you have both. So the things that you have, whether it be your games, whether it be your bank accounts or whatever you have. Yes, some of it is for your own pleasure, so to speak, to use as for your benefit. But you also have to see that with it, you may plant seeds to be a blessing to others. That is how Paul wants us to look at things. You know, we all have cars. Well, what is your car for? Well, it's just for me. Well, how can you use your car to be a blessing for others? Well, I know some of you pick up elderly people so that they're still able to come to church. And what a blessing that is. Some people, they take cancer patients to treatments to hospitals in Edmonton or Calgary or Red Deer, wherever it might be. And again, and some do Meals on Wheels. And so you look at that which God has given you. Yes, some of it is, of course, for yourself, but others, it is for seed, to plant, to invest, to be a blessing for others. And so I think of cadets and because of the kindness of Jesus, because of the compassion of Jesus, you show that kindness and compassion to others. Some of you are older, and so you look at some of the younger cadets and how you can be a blessing to them, how you can help them with maybe some of some of the badges, and in this way you are a blessing, and you're not just simply greedy, you're not just simply doing it for yourself. Maybe there's somebody that, yeah, doesn't have a lot of friends. You go out of your way to befriend, to be kind, to show that love and compassion. And then the Bible talks here, Paul talks here about then the harvest of your righteousness. Others will give thanks to God. Imagine, young fellas, imagine that one of your core mates here goes home at night, and before he goes to bed, he thanks God. God, thank you for my friend, fill in your name. Because I didn't think I had a friend, but he talked to me. And he was a blessing to me. And so imagine that person thanking God for what you have done, for what you have given. That is how Paul wants us to live. Not only just simply giving money. That we do have offerings and but these offerings in some ways is a learning exercise, that how we are to live our everyday lives. We are always to be offering and giving and sharing. That's the way he desires us to live. Giving generosity makes us beautiful people. And I hope and pray that that's what you desire. I hope and pray that not only cadets, but all of us, at the end of the day, that we ask ourselves the question, how have I been a blessing? Maybe to my spouse, maybe to my parents, maybe to my brothers or sisters, maybe to people that I work with, maybe to fellow cadets. How have I been a blessing? And maybe you're going to conclude, like I conclude many, many times, that I've kind of blown it, and I haven't always thought more about myself than others. But then pray, Lord, help me. Help me to realize more and more what Jesus has done for me, so that I may be a blessing to others. And in this way we fit in. In this way, we reflect Jesus, and then we cannot help but be a blessing. Amen.